This is podtech.net. I'm Michael Johnson, and we're here on the floor of Java 1 2006 in San Francisco in the Moscone Center, deep underground. In fact, when some people go deep underground, they call it spelunking, but we're splunking today, and we're here at the Splunk booth, and we're here with Michael Baum, who is the chief executive. We're used to, interviewing CEOs. This is the CES, the chief executive splunker for Splunk. And welcome to the podcast, Michael.
Thank you for having me, Michael. It's a pleasure to see you.
So tell me a little bit about Splunk. I mean, it looks pretty fascinating for what I've read so far. This is real cutting-edge stuff. So tell me a little bit about what Splunk does and what it does for IT folks.
So Splunk is a radically different way of managing IT infrastructure and improving the availability without adding a whole lot of complexity into your environment. The company was started by three of us that came out of the internet world and were managing large server farms for search engine companies like Yahoo, InfoSeek. And we started wondering why we were spending so much time keeping these environments up and running. And when we examined it, it really came down to the fact that it was a data problem. All these machines we're running are generating massive amounts of data, furiously logging what they're doing all day long. Firewalls, routers, web servers, app servers, databases. And IT people and developers have to cut through that information to figure out what the systems are doing at runtime whenever they run into a problem.
So how did Splunk come along and what solutions did it offer to that? Because I think it's certainly, as I've been talking with different people about SOA and other things that are, there's more and more analysis of all this metadata, this incredible amounts of metadata. What do you do with it all? So what's the Splunk solution?
What do you do with it? That's a good question. Well, we take all of that information in the form of machine data, and we index it, and we link it together so that now IT people, developers, whether you're on call for escalation or whether you're writing a new application, can search and navigate against the runtime environment of their machines live while they're running and figure out what they're doing. So we took what we learned about building search for the web and the internet, and we're now applying it to a much more dynamic set of data within the data center.
Well, let's back up a little bit. I think most people are used to sort of crunching those numbers later when you do the large amount of research to try to figure out what happened, where did the system go down,
Right. Looking
through logs and all of that. But you're saying that this is real time.
This is real time. We do real time indexing of up to terabytes of data a day. The technology we've built is a software technology that scales the same way the internet has scaled on small, inexpensive servers. You can distribute them, peer them together, and index lots and lots of data a day in real time. If it's not in real time, it's not really all that useful.
So how does that fit into the Java 1 environment? What does that work in all of this universe?
Sure. Well, let's think about a developer, right, who's building a Java application and has to deal with log4j logs from the server. They have to deal with native Java logging logs from their application. They have to deal with JMX notifications from the JVM. They have to be looking at JMS and SOAP calls in between application servers or an app server and a web server, JDBC calls between an app server and a database. And they have to make sense of all of that just to figure out if their application's working in development. Now you put that into production and you scale it up to a larger environment. Those developers often have to come into the production environments to troubleshoot them because they're the only ones that understand how the application portion works. Now, of course, they don't understand how the network works necessarily or the storage architecture or the web tier, so they have to bring other experts in with them. What Splunk allows them to do is cut through all that data in real time and without having 15 experts in a room, find the root cause of the problem and fix the problem before the systems go down.
Now, as more and more SOA environments come online or people certainly stepping into greater awareness of it, it seems like a tool like this is going to be really important.
Well, yeah, I mean, think about today. The typical server in a data center will generate easily north of 100 megabytes a day in logging data. If you total that up with a couple of servers and a couple of applications, you can quickly get over a terabyte of data a day in a decent-sized data center. Now you add SOA to that. Now you add virtualization to that. Now you add grid computing to that, and you've got a lot more data. Everything keeps getting more complex. And inevitably, the people are always there to troubleshoot the systems, but they need better tools.
Well, it's like sort of real-time analysis and powers of 10 a little bit sort of thing. I think people have been used to working maybe on a city grid, but as virtualization and SOA, we're sort of taking that longer and longer view to how the machine works itself.
It sort of reminds me of that game that we played as we were kids. I remember playing it at an amusement park called Whack-A-Mole, right?
Mm-hmm.
So
right.
Here's the complexity. We whack it over here and it pops up somewhere else, right? I mean, web services were going to solve all the world's problems. And while they're great and they do a lot of wonderful things, they bring their own level of complexity into the data center. And now that a lot of it's moving into production, people have to troubleshoot the web services layer.
Now, if folks want to sort of, you know, take a look at Splunk, is there a way that they can do that? Because, I mean, it's one thing to see it sort of here at the show and see the demonstrations here. But, you know, say I'm sitting at home right now listening to this podcast or jogging, whatever you're doing with your iPod right now, and I want to take a look at Splunk. How can I do that?
So you can go to www.splunk.com.
How do you spell that?
S-P-L-U-N-K. And we have a free version of our product. We have a commercial version of the product. The free version is free to use forever, as long as you want to use it. The commercial version, we have a free 30-day trial. And the commercial version offers greater scale. It offers enterprise-class features that people really need if they're going to roll this out into a data center environment.
What's been exciting for you about developing Splunk itself, and especially about the 2.0 version rollout?
Well, I mean, it's always an interesting time in a project when you move from a 1.x release to a 2.0 release. You know, the 1.x release you thought was just the greatest thing you ever did as a developer. And yet here's this new 2.0 kid on the block, right? So it's a fun time for us. I mean, just to see our own application getting tighter, faster, more scalable. And at the show, it's been great to meet just hordes of... We gave away over 1,000 T-shirts yesterday, our Take the SH Out of IT T-shirts. It's the most T-shirts we've ever given away in a single day at a trade show. So that was very exciting for us. We had a lot of people come by the booth and found out that a lot of them were actually already using Splunk. We've done about 50,000 downloads of our free product in the last 3 months. So it's really starting to catch on, and we have people all over the world using it.
Okay. Well, I've been speaking today with Mike Baum, who is the chief executive Splunker for Splunk. And it is real-time systems analysis software. It sounds like a completely important and interesting product to be featured here at the show. We're at Java 1 2006 in San Francisco. And thanks for being with us on the podcast, Mike.
Thanks, Michael.